Welcome to Whack Brackets, the podcast that is still afraid to watch the Michael Jackson Thriller video within 3 hours of going to bed. I am your host, Mike, and this week, hopefully this will drop either right before or right after Halloween, I am going to bracket off horror show murderers. Generally not good people, but what I had to do is I had to reach out to someone to help me with this, and I said, I need a couple of damn fine podcasters, so I reached out. Of course, I'm going to have on Jasmine and Mills from the Damn Fine TV Podcast. How are you girls doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. And here, where Jasmine lives up in Canada, it gets minus 20 degrees sometimes, which sounds atrocious, but she seems fine with it.
True. I'm all right.
Yeah. Good.
I'm all right.
All right. Well, we were talking a little bit beforehand, and I wanted you guys, I'll let you guys explain your podcast, but even before you explain what you do over at the Damn Fine TV Podcast, why don't you girls explain how you guys actually come to meet each other?
So we met online, I believe it was through Twitter, and we were both watching Castle Rock at the time, season one, and we just kind of both ended up in the same type of chat loop about the show, and then we kind of branched off and started talking to each other and realized that we have pretty much everything in common. We love all the same TV, films, everything you can imagine, and so then Jasmine invited me to be part of her podcasting world, and it's just been this magical fairy tale ever since.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Do you have tears in your eyes from
I do. I'm wiping them. Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's adorable. So what do you guys do over at the Damn Fine TV? Tell me some of the shows that you've talked about. I know of a couple, but let my audience know. They may be interested.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically, we just talk about any TV that we're watching. You know, if we think it's Damn Fine TV, we're going to talk about it. But sometimes we do a deep dive into a particular show. So, like a couple months ago, we did some coverage for Twin Peaks. Recently, we've been talking about Lovecraft Country, Ratched, and right now we're doing The Haunting of Bly Manor, which has been so much fun. But yeah, I mean, honestly, we just talk about whatever we're watching. And sometimes we talk about trash. Sometimes we talk about great stuff. It's there's a smorgasbord there.
All righty. A plethora, if you will. So yeah, and you guys were lucky to meet each other online because the only people I've ever met online were on Tinder. Crazy people. Nuts. Don't tell my wife. Tinder, crazy.
Yeah, that's a hole I don't want to go down, figuratively and literally, I think.
Oh, well.
Oh, man, that's great. So with that said, I'm going to explain what whack bracketing is for folks who don't know, if you haven't checked out the podcast before. And I've turned this into a quick blur because it used to take too long. And as these girls can attest to, I talk too much. But pretty much what whack brackets is we are asking the burning questions you never knew you wanted answered until we ask them. I will bring on fellow podcasters such as Jasmine and Mills and friends of the show as well, such as the Center Cut guys who are not only podcasters, but now I consider them some of my best podcasting friends. These girls know them as well. They're some damn fine people.
Yeah.
So that said, I'll bring on guys like you guys to bracket off similar contestants using irrelevant and ever-changing questions. So if you guys are ready, I think we're ready to go.
Yes, I can't wait.
All righty. Again, these are horror show murderers. Hopefully you got your big boy Halloween pants on because this episode may scare you. First question, scarier to make your enemy? Would it be Annie Wilkes from Misery or would it be Hannibal Lecter? What do you think, Jasmine?
Okay, so this was the toughest one for me because at first I really thought I was going to go with Annie because she's a nurse. She's got access to drugs. She knows how to give you certain drugs that will really fuck you up, right? And I have a legitimate fear of being incapacitated in that way. And then she's going to hold you hostage. You know, I've written my fair share of blogs. And what if she didn't like one of the reviews that I did? So what if she holds me hostage and makes me rewrite a review of, like, I don't know, The Vampire Diaries or something so stupid, right? So I thought I was going to go with her for sure. Then I texted Mels this morning and was like, hey, does Hannibal ever feed his victims to themselves? And she was like, oh, yeah, girl. Like, and one time he fed a brain to that person. So then I thought, okay, well, shit. Hannibal also will drug you to incapacitate you so that he can start cutting you up and eating you, right? And he'll hold you hostage and feed you to yourself. And getting eaten is terrifying. So I think he would be scarier to have as the enemy. Also, I think I would more easily piss Hannibal off because it seems like he just doesn't like rude people. And I'm not going to put on airs just for Hannibal. So that's my answer. I think Hannibal would be scarier to make your enemy.
Alrighty. So Mels, who do you think?
Okay. Well, in the same vein, this was a difficult one for me. Actually, it was the hardest one. But I ended up going with Annie on this one. And I don't know if it's because I am such a big Stephen King fan, so that might have played into why I chose her. But my main reason for choosing her, and kind of Jasmine actually hit all the high points of why I chose her. One of the other reasons, besides, you know, if you cross her and she's your number one fan, then you're going to really get fucked up by her. She's going to, like Jasmine says, she's going to incapacitate you. She's going to drug you. She's going to make you sit there and type out a brand new novel about her favorite character. And she's going to make you do all these crazy things. But the main reason why I would not want to make her my enemy is because I don't want to get my ankle smashed in by a mallet.
True.
There's something about the ankles and the Achilles heel for me personally that has always, like, right now I've got goosebumps because it just makes me cringe to think about any of those delicate parts of my foot getting hurt. So when she did do that to poor old Paul, then I was like, there's no way I would do everything that she asked me to. I would not want to piss her off. I would not want her as an enemy.
All right. Well, fair enough. So it sounds like I have to split this tie. And this one is going to be a little difficult. These have actually a lot of similarities in the fact they started out as books and then they turned into movies. And since then, both of these characters have ended up on TV shows.
Yeah.
Hannibal has ended up, I think it's just called Hannibal, was a TV show with Mads Mikkelsen. I really enjoyed his portrayal of that. I thought he was every bit as good as Anthony Hopkins, personally. A lot of people would disagree with that, but I thought he really played this psychotic yet well-tempered individual about as well as you could. I think Lizzie Kaplan might play Annie Wilkes on some show right now, and I haven't seen it. So if you guys know the show, throw it in there.
Yeah, Castle Rock, season 2. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So there we go. See, I need to catch up on that. Is she pretty good in that?
I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, and I'm not a huge fan of the actress, but I thought she did very good in that role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with that said, the one thing that I didn't realize particularly about Annie is she's even more brutal in the book.
Yes.
From what I understand, she didn't just smash his feet with a sledgehammer. She cut off one of his feet, and it's just insane.
Yes. Yes.
So she's definitely nuts, but is she nuttier than Hannibal Lecter? This guy kills and eats people. And he also, the thing about Hannibal versus Annie is, she is, even though she has these highs and lows where she seems very calm and then she just goes off the rails, Hannibal's usually always calm, but he also likes to play mind games with people. So particularly in the first season of Hannibal, Will Graham didn't even really know he was his enemy until he was his enemy. That's a scary proposition. Yes. And I think Annie has to be in a situation where she can take advantage of someone, where Hannibal will hunt you down and kill you and feed you to people if he doesn't eat you first. So personally, I'm a little more afraid of Hannibal. I think as an enemy, you don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know what he's going to do. Annie's, she's like a one-trick pony.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
There's something really terrifying about super calm people. Like, didn't we talk about that on a podcast, Mels? You got to watch for the calm people. Like, that's where the real horror comes.
That's right.
Yeah, I can't remember. We actually discussed something about that on an early episode of Whack Brackets. I can't remember. Something about Patrick Starr. I'd have to look it up. I've done 20 of these. I forget what I do have.
Oh, yeah.
I almost forgot you guys were on this morning. I looked up. It was 10:40. I was like, shit.
Well, I would have to just, one more thing I would like to add to this is that I consume massive amounts of junk food and very bad things for me. So if Hannibal got the opportunity to eat me, he would not be very satisfied. So I might have a chance of making it out of that alive. I might be missing a few things, but I think I would make it out okay.
Here's the thing. I'm no scientist. But in my mind, if you ate somebody that eats a lot of chocolate cake, they're going to taste like chocolate cake.
Oh, so man. Maybe I just... Oh, I hope he's not listening to this. I just got myself into a big hole here.
Mels is going to turn into Hannibal. She's going to be like, She's going to be like watching kids around when we can trick or treat again. And she, the candy she gives out, she's like, all right, Billy, where's your fat ass live?
Eat all these peanut butter cups.
That's right. Every one of them. When your mom tries to take them from you, no.
Yeah, exactly.
Leave behind those Necco wafers.
By that logic, then, Hannibal would not want me because I'm a vegan and I eat a bunch of vegetables. Ugh. So come on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, you're right, Justin. Man, yeah. You're in the clear, girl.
Yeah, well, that's why they get the cows and you have the grass-fed cows versus when you feed them corn, and the corn one tastes like shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, you want those good grazing cows. So, see, I'm sure that you would be a healthier meal. But,
it's true. If Hannibal wants organic and, you know, grass-fed.
If he wants a side dish, then he could go with Jasmine. There's your vegetables.
Yeah. Well, unless he really enjoys ramen noodles, he's not going to really dig on me too much. It's my food of pleasure. So.
I love it.
Even to this day. So a damn near 50-year-old man should not still be eating ramen noodles, but here we are.
So quick and easy.
It's so easy and it's so good. I love them.
Yeah, I'm king. I'm team drained ramen noodles, by the way. I don't fuck with this.
I was about to ask if you were drained or not. Yeah.
Yeah. I voted drained.
Yeah, they're so much better that way. You get the full effect of the sauce packet.
Yes.
So again, off the rails as per usual with this podcast. I apologize to these girls yet again because I'm trying to keep this under 3 hours. So
okay.
But I did have a couple of guys on here. I hit over the hour mark finally, so we may end up hitting over the hour mark. We'll see. But with that said, we are going to put Hannibal Lecter in the next round, and he is going to face the winner of this question. More annoying stand-up comedian. Would it be Ghostface from Scream, or would it be Chucky from a shitload of terrible Child's Play movies?
Okay, so I found Ghostface to be endearing. This is so weird, I know. I'm a twisted, twisted person. I didn't mind his little quips. I thought they were scary, and I thought they worked very well in the movie. Even all the movies, even the terrible Scream movies. So I'm going to go with Chucky on this one because his one-liners are absolutely awful. His delivery is absolutely awful. He's a fucking doll, okay, that's been stitched up. And as much as I love, I think it's Brad Dourif. I think that's how you say his last name because he was the original voice of Chucky. Because when the remake came around, it was Mark Hamill, a.k.a. Luke Skywalker. Yeah. So I'm going with old school Chucky on this one because, like I said, I love Brad a lot. He's in a lot of scary movies that I enjoy. But, man, Chucky is like, he's just terrible. And I don't think that he would flourish as a stand-up comedian because I think the audience would be throwing tomatoes at him by the end of his set.
All right, and then Team Chucky.
Yeah, and then I feel like he would probably just get mad and stab everybody with knitting needles. And then it would be the end of it for him anyway. So...
And you got a sick, twisted mind, don't you?
Told you, I do. I love horror.
All right. So Jasmine, are you going to argue with your cohort here, or are you going to lean in and go with the Chuckmeister?
Yeah, I got to agree with Mel's on this one. I'm not super familiar with Chucky, so I watched a couple videos of, like, his best quotes, right? Mm-hmm. And they're all terrible. Like, they are all so, so bad. I think Chucky on stage, it would be all punchline and no setup.
Right.
And so how long can you really do that for, right? And I agree with Mel's. I think people would be angry and he would just fly off the handle and kill the whole audience, right? Whereas, and you know, I got to agree with you on this one too, Mel's. I also love Ghostface. Also think he's super endearing. Well, I guess you can't call him a he, but whatever. He kind of does have that bro energy to him, though. Like, I see him on stage doing a lot of, like, you know, not all serial killers type material or back in my day of murdering, that kind of thing. Yeah. So he'd still be pretty annoying, but I think he'd actually make me laugh at least once or twice. And he does seem to have a better handle on language and how to do wordplay and stuff, whereas Chucky just doesn't seem to understand any of that kind of stuff. Maybe it's because he's a doll. You know, maybe we should cut him some slack. He never went to school. I don't know. But yeah,
he never went to school.
I don't know. Like, even if Ghostface was the version of himself from Scary Movie and he was just doing, like, what's up the whole time, I still think I would enjoy that more than Chucky's terrible one-liners.
Yeah, I agree.
So Chucky's definitely, I guess he wins, quote unquote, by being the worst stand-up comedian. Yeah.
It's the way we work sometimes, which means sadly my opinion means nothing. And I'm actually, sometimes I can talk people into changing their opinions with a good argument. Okay. I'm not going to do that with this one because I agree with you. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I am not a huge Scream fan, so I apologize for that ahead of time. Yeah, I knew I was going to rankle some cages here, but especially the ones I've seen, he does most of his best work over a telephone, right?
Yes.
That's a good point.
Yes.
So with that said, I'm not even sure he gets up in front of people. He's not much of a talker, if I recall, when he's public.
It's true.
I'm not sure if he's going to be a comedian. And if you do hold the phone up, to me, he's kind of got that Gilbert Gottfried energy. He's just too much to deal with. So that would be annoying, but I'm still going to go with Chucky, and I'll tell you why. First off, Chucky looks like a cross between Mama June and Ron Howard.
Oh, no.
There's something terrible about him. That's just, he's grating. He's not the most attractive doll. And the other thing I've seen, I think it was Child's Play 2, where the doll maker, they show at the beginning how you ram the eyes in the dolls, and then he rams that guy through and sticks the little plastic eyes in the guy's head.
Yeah.
And to me, as you mentioned about being annoying, that he uses props. So at that point, this is going to be like a Junior Carrot Top situation. He's got the hair for it. He's using the props. Nobody finds Carrot Top to be very funny. That said, from what I understand about Carrot Top, he's actually a pretty good dude. He's pretty self-demeaning. So either way, he's still an annoying as shit comedian.
Yeah.
And I think Chucky would be the same. So I'm going to go clean sweep. I think we're all going to agree that Chucky, more annoying stand-up comedian.
I love it.
Yeah.
Like you said, clean sweep right off the board.
Yep. Bang, bang.
Bang, bang.
So with that said, we have another whack bracket. We have four in the first round. We're not doing our mini bracket because this is a full episode. Sometimes I do mini episodes. Hey, they are what they are. But this one, you get the full, as Mel's would say, I think, smorgasbord of whack. So we're going to move on to the next bracket. And this one's actually this is more of an opinion question because I sometimes go goofy with the questions, but this one it made sense to me. Who has the more iconic mask? Is it Jason from Friday the 13th, 1 through 719, or is it Michael Myers from Halloween?
Also 1 through 719.
I was about to say, yeah.
I think, you know, even though Jason's mask is essentially a hockey goalie mask, I think he's going to win for me because I only recently found out that the Michael Myers mask is actually William Shatner's face, but I guess you could call it Captain Kirk's face, and it's like a prop from Star Trek, and I just feel like that should be more widely known. You know, I mean, I've seen as many Friday the 13th as I have Halloween movies, and I can look at a hockey goalie and go, oh yeah, Jason, but I wouldn't look at William Shatner and go, oh yeah, Michael Myers. Right? So to me, there's something more iconic about the Jason mask there. Got to go with that.
I'm going to interrupt and I'm going to make Mel's decide because I'm going to disagree with you because I think it is Michael Myers. And for the reasons you said, the cool thing about the Michael Myers mask is you don't know right away that it's a William Shatner mask. And yet they've repurposed it and they made it look like something totally different, which is kind of cool. And if you think about the way that Michael Myers comes into a situation, it's a little different than Jason. He's usually just standing there. Sometimes he sneaks up on you. Sometimes he's just standing there. And this is a whole situation. It's kind of like being confronted by a weird guy on the street. You're not sure exactly what's going to happen. Now, in this case, you're going to get murdered. But you don't know that. You're like, what the hell is this guy doing with this weird mask? He's got mental issues. But maybe he's one of those funny mental issue guys. And he's going to come up and tell me a crazy story about the birds. I don't know. Jason, on the other hand, if I recall, correct me if I'm wrong, Jason really wasn't even in the first movie. I think he may have come up at the end, and I think that may have been a dream sequence. I don't even think that was really there. So he's not even in the first movie. In the second movie, he wore, I don't even think, the mask. I think he wore a burlap sack. So with that said, you don't even get to the mask until the third movie. So you got a guy that's not even the star of his own franchise. In the second movie, he can't decide what mask he wants to wear. And then he just goes and takes a hockey mask. He's like, this is my look. Just like you said, you get the Jason and you're getting a hockey goalie.
Yeah.
You get Michael Myers, you're getting Michael Myers. So to me, I'm going 100% Michael Myers. I'm going to let Mel's either put me in my place or have a disagreement with Jasmine. So what do you think, Mel's?
Ooh, this is, I'm sweating, okay?
Because Mel's, this remember big, who you do this show with.
Okay? I know. That's why I'm sweating, because I'm sorry, but it's Michael Myers for me.
Oh, wow, traitor.
I know. Now, listen, I agree that, and this was one of the hot topic points of contention between me and my husband about the iconic mask. Ooh. He was totally Team Jason, and I was like, you have lost your mind, okay? First of all, Michael Myers was the first, like, creepy stalker slasher, and that, to me, makes him more iconic anyway, because if it weren't for him, he walked so Jason could run, okay? So that's number one. Number two, it is William Shatner's face, okay? Like, you cannot get more iconic than the fact that they took a mold of this man's face and made him into a serial killer, okay? Michael Myers, I'm also biased on this because Halloween is my all-time number one favorite movie of my entire life. And I love Michael Myers the same way. So for me, it's going to always be Michael Myers, no matter who we put him up against.
I got a question for you while we're asking. Have you seen the new Halloween movies at all? I know that I think Kenny Powers or what's it, Danny McBride.
Danny McBride.
Him.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Does he do a ship reboot in that? Or?
No, I loved it. Now, it's very different because, I guess, spoiler, if you want to... No, I won't spoil it for you. They change a very major plot in the story. But aside from that, and that's been a point of, like, people hate that or people love that. It's one of those types of things they changed about the plot. I personally loved it. I thought it gave it a new... You breathe some new life into it because, I mean, we joked about it being like 745, but there have been so many Halloween movies, reboots, makes, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of breathed some new life into it. I'm a huge fan of them, and I can't wait to see the next two because there's going to be three from Danny McBride.
And I'm glad you agreed with me. One thing I would disagree with, I think that Charles Manson would take offense to you saying that Michael Myers was the first stalker slasher. So, my opinion.
Movies.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Charlie.
Oh, my goodness. That's the name of the podcast. Sorry, Charlie. Sorry, Charlie. All right, perfect. Now that I've got that out of the way, we've got Michael Myers going on to the next round against the winner of this whack bracket. Who would be worse to make out with? Would it be Freddy Krueger from Nightmare on Elm Street fame, or would it be the Demogorgon from Stranger Things?
Okay, I guess I'm going to start this one off, yeah?
Sure.
All right, I really thought long and hard about this one. I don't even think the Demogorgon would get really... I don't think he'd be interested in making out with me, and I don't think he would get close enough for me to try to make out with him.
Oh, Mel.
Or it, I guess I should say
like
it.
Yeah.
I know.
Give yourself more credit.
Demogorgon would love you.
Well.
It actually love you, Jasmine, because you're all grain fed over there, and he looks like a big flower. He might not like the.
Yeah. Grain.
Might not like the chocolate cake, but that's all right, Mills.
See, it's coming back around to me of all the nasty food I consume. So my vote for this would be Freddy Krueger, and this is why. He has terrible skin, and I'm fairly certain that his breath would match that terrible skin. I just have a feeling, because he's got terrible teeth as well, and I don't think that his dental hygiene is on point at all. Also, I do think that if he tried to make out with me, his knife fingers would get in my hair, and I have spent, this is quarantine hair. Okay, this is pandemic hair, and it is very long, and I have spent a long time growing this pandemic hair out, and I would be so pissed if he tangled it up and cut it all up, okay? That's my opinion.
What if he gave you a nice little cut, layered it up, thinned it out?
Something tells me that he wouldn't even, I don't even know if he would have the skill for that, okay?
He's not Edward Scissorhands over here.
He's not Edward Scissorhands,
yeah. I would let Edward give me a cut for sure.
Yeah, I'm all about Johnny Depp, except like, I'm not about Johnny Depp the jerk, but yeah, if you take away his asshole tendencies, he's not a bad looking man.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. We could go on looks alone, that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that, I'm vain. So Jasmine, what's your opinion on this?
All right. Well, I agree with Mel's that Freddy's face is disgusting. I think his lips are going to taste like some sort of burnt rubber or like really old chewing gum that you've been just kind of playing around with. And I mean, I like, he's definitely has not brushed his teeth in years. If he gives you a little lower lip nibble, you're going to get cut up. You know, it's not going to be pleasant in any way, shape or form. And including like if he's putting those nails through your hair, that's going to be awkward. But if he tries to caress your cheek a little bit, you're getting slashed up. There's nothing really super enjoyable, but I think I'd still rather make out with him than the Demogorgon. Because I don't think the Demogorgon can make out with you. Yeah. I don't think it's even possible. I think you just get eaten. Like, I think he tries to go in for a kiss, or they, I'm not sure. They try to go in for a kiss, and you just get swallowed up whole. And there's a lot of teeth and a lot of slobber. And I think I'm going to go with burnt rubber lips over that.
Okay, so you think burnt rubber lips you would rather make out with, or you'd rather not make out?
Yeah, I would rather. Wow. So Demogorgon, worse to make out with.
Oh!
Wow, then we have a split here. And this one, there's a lot of problems with Freddy, as we mentioned. First off, he's got the burnt skin. I think from what I understand in the movie, he killed some people when he was younger and like the town burned him to death or some shit. That's why he's all scaly.
He killed a bunch of kids.
Oh, was it kids? Shit.
Yes. Okay. So yeah.
That didn't.
And the townspeople, it was like Frankenstein almost. The townspeople like burned him up.
Mm. Okay, fair enough. He probably deserved it at that point.
Yeah.
But even if you put that aside and his terrible teeth aside, he wears that scratchy-ass sweater. Ugh. That's not going to be fun to make out with. And then at final starter state, let's look past the fact that Freddy, not an attractive man. But if he was, Robert Englund, I think, is a pretty attractive dude. So let's say that you get the best of Freddy. He shows up dressed to the nines, not wearing a scratchy-ass sweater, looking like a million bucks, and then you try to get to second or third base with him, and he's got those hands. Nope. That's going to be a loss of limb or other appendage situation that I want no part of. Now, the Demogorgon, he's got a couple of problems, as mentioned. He's got the big mouth. And to me, his mouth looks like it. The only mouth I can think of that's bigger than that is like Julia Roberts or maybe like Gary Busey. And even though they're movie stars, he doesn't have really that good a look. If you look at his skin, it looks kind of scaly. I'm sure that it's going to be like some sandpaper situation. And then finally, as far as his fingernails, have you all ever seen the Guinness Book of World Records?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where like they have the guys with the crazy long fingernails. That's kind of what it reminds me of. Yeah. So neither one of these are a good makeout. As far as the worst, man... I was hoping that you guys would pick the same one so I didn't have to break this tie. But for the sake of making out, I do think Freddy's going to be more damaging. So at that point, I think that he's going to be the worst to make out with. So that's who I'm going with.
Freddy lives on.
Yeah. Does he ever even die? I think even at the end of the Jason Freddy movie, he like blinks his eye or something. He's not even dead.
So. He's not even dead. And fun fact, that was the first date that my husband and I went on, was to see that movie. So that
and you
was,
married him? Or did he go because of you?
He married me. Okay. Yeah. I picked the movie. So that's some insight into my mind. Once again.
You married that's one so fine cool. man there. He must really love you.
He must really be in for the long haul.
So, good deal. So, we have our first round of Whack Brackets complete. And let me see if I can remember who won, because sometimes when I'm reviewing, I forget. So, if I forget, just remind me and say, Mike, you're full of shit. So, let's see. Let's see. Okay. First question was scarier to make your enemy. We agreed that it would be Hannibal over Annie Wilkes. Second, more annoying stand-up comedian. I think it was a sweep. We went with Chucky. Third, more iconic mask. We had a split decision. And Mel's was the tiebreak, and we went with Michael Myers over Jason. And finally, worst to make out with, another split. I got to break this tie. It was a tough one, but we went with Freddy over the Demogorgon.
Yeah.
So we are on to the second round of Whack Bracketing. And with this question being Chucky versus Hannibal Lecter, who would make a better replacement for motivational speaker Tony Robbins?
Oh, man, that's tough. Well, you know what? Not so much. I think I'm going to go with Hannibal. I don't think Chucky could motivate anybody, honestly. I mean, we've already talked about how he would, you know, totally fail on stage just trying to do comedy. I don't think he has any star power. I don't think he has any, he has no charisma. you know, whereas Hannibal, I think he's good at that sort of smooth talking, manipulative kind of thing. So not that all self-help is manipulative, but you know what I'm going for. So
debatable.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think I'm going to go with Hannibal on this.
Okay.
All righty, Mills.
Well, I am also going to go with Hannibal on this one. He's intelligent. He's educated. I think that he would make a great motivational speaker, especially if you are seeking, you know, anything about the anatomy.
Sure.
Anything about culinary skills. I think that Hannibal would be a great motivational speaker in those areas. And I think that Chucky would be absolutely terrible. Like Jasmine said, if you can't cut it in comedy, you're not going to cut it in motivational speaking.
Yeah, sadly, this question did not play out well for Mr. Chuck, because first off, he's going against probably of our entire bracket and maybe even all of horror. We have one of the most eloquent speakers who has been able to pretty much manipulate people mentally at will. Very smart people that knew they were being manipulated, like Will Graham, still easy to be manipulated. So he can definitely meld minds, etc. He's calming, as well as I could see him wanting to be a motivational speaker, because he would go in, he reads the room, he realizes that, okay, well, that person looks like they may taste good. This person's an asshole. I'm going to eat them. So he's got pretty much a buffet lined up for him for the future. So this is perfect for him. Chucky, let's forget the fact that he's annoying as shit. Let's forget the fact his one-liners suck. There's never been any reason to be motivated by Chucky. Finally, he's like this big.
Yeah.
So the only way that's going to work is if this is one of those like super church situations where he's on the jumbotron. But if he's trying to like engage with his audience, you're not even going to see him. He's got the Grady voice to boot. So yeah, I don't think he has a chance here. I think this is 100% Hannibal. And honestly, I think Hannibal probably would have beat just about anybody on this list with this question. So
yeah,
it wasn't rigged that way, but just the way it came out.
All right.
That's a great point about him having the buffet, you know, ready to go in all of the audience there. He could probably manipulate them into just like, okay, here you go. Come have a snack.
Come have a snack. Well, who is it? We don't know.
He'd have Mel's going, you know what? I don't even need my ankle anymore. That's right. It causes me all kinds of distress. Just take it right off.
You know what? It's not good for my mental health, my ankle. Just so go ahead and have it. Yeah.
Take the whole foot while you're at it. I don't need it.
I don't need it. I'll be fine.
And then this is a misery situation from the book. So yeah, we're tying it all together.
Exactly.
Hannibal moves on to the next round against the winner of this whack bracket. Who do you think has the better selling biography? Would it be Freddy Krueger or would it be Michael Myers?
Oh, okay. Is it my turn to go first this time?
Sure.
Yeah, why not? Go for it.
Okay. Wow. You know, I hate to say this because he's one of my favorite folks, but I just don't think Michael Myers has that much of an autobiography behind him. He's pretty cut and dry. I feel like with Freddy, there's probably a lot more underneath, you know, all those layers of burnt skin that we really haven't gotten to yet. So I'd have to say I would go with Freddy Krueger on this one, simply because we don't know why he wanted to kill the kids. We don't know his childhood. We know all of that about Michael Myers already. So I'm going to have to go with Freddy Krueger on this one, because I feel like there's a lot of backstory we just have not gotten to, even in all of the Nightmare series movies that we've gotten.
I like that. Well, I'm over here like trying to come up with what the autobiography would be titled, you know, like, I haven't come up with anything. So sorry to tease that. But I don't know, Michael Myers, like, I feel like he might take an angle of, like, people always confuse me for William Shatner. I want to know what that was like for him. Or the fact that, I mean, when I was a kid, I thought Mike Myers, like the Canadian comedian, was also Michael Myers from Halloween. So there's a lot of stolen identity, or just like him wanting people to know who he is. He could do a lot with that, I think. But then Freddy's got the whole like dream angle, which is super interesting. And there's a lot to break down there. And like, but I think I'm going to have to agree with Mel's that there's more to break down with Freddy. There's more. Yeah. There's more layers there under that burnt skin. I love that. Yeah.
You know, here's the thing about Michael Myers. We don't really know. Freddy, we know, is this subreal being. Okay. So he comes in from a totally different angle. Maybe Michael Myers is an insurance salesman for his day job. He's taking vacation to kill people. I mean, he could be living a whole, like, catch me if you can situation. He could be, like, a secret agent for the FBI, or he could be stealing planes. And maybe he just does this as a hobby. He's really not even into the killing as much, even though he's pretty much killed his whole life. But he's just doing this for fun. Now, we don't know that. So in a theoretical backstory for Michael, I think that he has the potential to have a very interesting autobiography. But the things we do know about Freddy are pretty fascinating. He's a child killer, which, you know, I mean, people read crazy autobiographies all the time. They seem a terrible person. Got burnt to death. Starts coming into people's dreams, fucking around. It's like, okay, I'm not sure why you're doing that. What's your end game to this? They're just screwing people. And the one thing people forget about Freddy is there, I think it was the mid-80s, late-80s, he became a bit of a cultural icon. Mm-hmm. It never really happened with Michael. And he actually was in, I don't know if you know this, he was in a rap song by the Fat Boys, who did not age well.
Yes.
So Freddie was even a rapper. So Freddie has this long arcing career where Michael, at best, he's, and if he is a catch me if you can situation, or if he is an FBI agent, you can't put that in a book.
Right.
Not while you're still doing it.
Right.
So Freddie's just wears it. He's like, okay, let me tell you about the time that I was dining with Salt and Peppa.
Yes. Oh my God, I love that. I can't wait to look up this song.
I love it.
So, oh, you don't want to hear this song.
It's a terrible song. I kind of do. It's a terrible song.
Nothing by the Fat Boys is any good. They put out The Twist and they put out Wipeout. So they took a whole bunch of old songs and they redid them. If you want to hear the only good Fat Boy song, in my opinion, it's 00 Fat Boys. That's a good one.
Right.
Other than that, the rest of them. Yeah, and 00 Fat Boys, for the record, has them being secret agent spies. They were secret agent spies and they were replaced by Russian Fat Boys.
Oh my. Could have been Michael Myers. You never know.
I don't think he looks like any of the Fat Boys. They had a definite look to him.
Yeah.
He would have to be wearing a lot of Spanx to fit in to a Michael Myers outfit and then, like, you know, all scrunched up.
That's true. Yeah,
possible. Or maybe it's this was a, he put on fake Fat Boy outfit to be the Fat Boys, but he's still pretty tall, right?
So yeah, he is.
I think the Fat Boys were
a little rotund and not very tall.
But yeah.
Anyway, we've got way too much on a Fat Boys tangent. Par for the course. So I apologize. But I did want to let you know, Freddy Krueger, rap star.
Yeah,
so, I love that. Yeah, I want to hear all about that, honestly.
So final white bracket question is going to pit Hannibal against Freddy Krueger. And this actually ties in with an episode I did just this week that is going to drop. I think it may drop this week. We'll have to see. But it's definitely going to drop soon. I bracketed off Scooby-Doo ripoffs with the guys from the cartoon Dumpster Dive.
Nice.
And they're a lot of fun to deal with. But this is dealing with the real deal. The Scooby-Doo gang.
Yeah.
Freddy Krueger or Hannibal? Less likely to get busted by the Scooby-Doo gang. Who do you think it is?
So tough. Oh my gosh, it's my turn to go first, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my God, the pressure. Okay, we've got Hannibal and Freddy. Okay.
Less likely to get busted.
Less likely. I'm going to go with Freddy less likely because, you know, Hannibal's pretty good at evading and escaping and all that kind of thing, but Freddy is in the dreams. And so, I don't know, maybe the Scooby-Doo gang could come up with some sort of dream infiltration thing. They get in there, they bust him, but I think you just stay better hidden. I think you stay better on the run when you're just only in people's dreams. So I'm going to go Freddy less likely to get caught.
I like
it. Okay. What do you think, Mills?
I'm going to agree. Okay. I think that Freddy can tuck away into a dream.
Right.
And it would be less likely to be caught because he has that ability to do that. Now, he is also very calculating on when he shows himself and when he's not in a dream. You know, it takes like a certain amount of time for someone to be asleep before he can come into reality, and I just don't see the Scooby-Doo gang getting their dreams invaded by Freddy Krueger. Now, I will say this. We've got Shaggy, we've got Scooby, two of the biggest eaters that I've ever seen in my life, right? I mean, all they do is eat, 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 eat. And I feel like Hannibal would get caught by them because all he would have to do, again, I know I talk a lot about Hannibal eating people because obviously that's what he does. He's a cannibal.
I think that's a fair point to bring up with Hannibal. Yeah,
exactly.
But don't shame the man for having one fault. Jeez.
I know. I'm not hating on you, Hannibal, okay? But I just feel like it would be easy, and it would be Shaggy and Scooby that would foil his plan because they would be invited to a buffet, and then poof, Fred and Velma and Daphne would just swoop right in, and they'd be like, we've caught you. We've got you, Hannibal. And I've been watching a lot of Scooby-Doo lately, too, so... I don't know if that's coming through.
Yeah.
So, this one is not very difficult on the surface, but I'm at least going to give Hannibal a run, or Freddy a run in the opposite direction. So you think, let me see, more likely to get caught or less likely to get caught, you both agree it's Freddy, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. So
yes,
I'm gonna try. No, you made perfect sense, but I am going to at least make a counter argument for the sake of making a counter argument. Okay, we do know that Freddy gets weak when he comes into the real world,
right?
And I think that if he does come across a Scooby-Doo gang, he tries to invade their dreams. We're not sure he can even invade a dog's dreams. I don't think
that's a great point.
And that being said, Shaggy is so baked all the time. I don't think that anything's gonna happen. Shaggy's gonna be like, dude, this happens in my dreams all the time. So he's not gonna be scared at all. With that said, I think Freddy might come into the real world because he's gonna get so frustrated, and that's when they catch him. And he does get weak, so maybe he's pretty feeble at that point, and they can just throw him in the mystery machine or what. I got a question. I'm just thinking, I wasn't even thinking this, but question: how do they really detain anybody?
I don't know. Yeah, Swifty.
Well, you're the Scooby-Doo expert, Miles. You got to weigh in on this.
Like, do you mean like how, like what are their theatrics to get catching people?
No, I mean like when they actually catch the person's always just standing there. Does Fred have a pair of handcuffs or he and Velma into some kinky shit and he just takes handcuffs around? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure you're exactly. Right. Because they don't ever show that. The person is always like handcuffed or the police are like already there. So I'm like, how did you even keep them here that long by the time you... From the time you've unmasked them until the authorities show up, I mean, yeah, Fred would be the person, in my opinion, that would be carrying around handcuffs because he's just that guy. I don't know. Oh, Fred kind of just, he rubs me the wrong way. He always has. I don't know why.
Maybe they just stand around in a circle and keep the culprit in a circle. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Fred is definitely the roofie in the drink kind of guy.
Yes, he is.
Kind of a creeper.
He is a creep.
So, either way, like I said, I'm going to at least try to give Hannibal a run here is because Hannibal's smarter than Freddy, probably. I don't think he's actually that intelligent.
That's true.
I mean, he gets foiled a lot of times by teenage girls. So he's not very smart. Whereas Hannibal, it takes a lot to catch this cat. First off, Hannibal, I think he's just one step ahead of the Scooby-Doo gang. And if he gets to a point to where he thinks he's going to get caught, he's not like Freddy who gets hyper-focused. Hannibal just be like, I'm just going to go over here and kill these fuckers for a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he'll come back. Hannibal plays the long game. He'll be like, these Scooby-Doo fucks, I'm going to wait until they're asleep. Or I'm going to wait until Shaggy's baked and eat him. And I'm going to wait until Fred's tied up by Velma in one of his kinky sexual games. And I'm going to wait until he's roofie Velma.
Yeah.
I think that Hannibal, now whether or not he eats dogs or not, I don't know. I'm not going to make some ethnic joke that would put me in any danger here.
Oh, no. Probably a good call. So.
Yeah.
I think you've swayed me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think so. I'm sorry, Mels, but
it's okay.
Just on the intelligence factor alone and the idea that, he would just wait. He would wait it out. Whereas I think Freddy does get a little frustrated. He comes into the real world. I really like those points. So
yeah,
you flip me.
All right.
Wow.
That happens sometimes.
That's great. Wow. I love it. Well, I mean, I'm just going to have to be stubborn and stick to my guns. Aww. So that's okay, though. It's okay.
No, that's fine. You don't want to flip-flop with us? Come on.
Come on.
No, I don't know. Don't the peer pressure.
Flip.
Don't peer pressure me.
Flip.
Oh, my gosh. Don't do it. I'm sticking to it.
Well done, Mike. You got me.
All right. It does happen sometimes. I've been known to make a good case sporadically, though my wife would disagree. I'd never win any arguments with her.
That's why you started the show, so that you could win some arguments.
Well, the thing is, I'm a complete, patsy in an argument with hers because the tears swells up And literally, I'm like, okay, whatever you say, I'll do whatever you say.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, very good.
You want to go to the pumpkin patch, even though all our kids are fully grown? I'll go to the pumpkin patch.
I love it.
I'll sit there and be upset the entire day and time. But you know who keeps their mouth closed? This guy.
This guy. Well done. Yeah.
Well done.
So with that said, I think we agree or disagree, but we've come to a conclusion. Hannibal Lecter is going to win our horror show murderers bracket. There we go. Woo! I'll spit it out eventually.
All right.
I think it might be an upset win here, but...
Yeah. That's not at all how I saw this going.
Me either. Mm-hmm. Me either.
Did not see Hannibal going all the way. Wow. Yeah.
Congratulations, Hannibal the Cannibal.
Should we all make like an awkward tongue sound like Hannibal does?
I got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, nice.
Fava beans.
That's clapping, yeah.
Oh, fabulous. Yeah, it's too bad I don't have a Patreon. I would have cut that out. And I would have charged people money for that.
Well, that's your first post on OnlyFans then.
There you go.
Yeah, that's, I would make dimes and dimes from an OnlyFans page.
Dimes and dimes.
That will be a non-starter. So with that said, Hannibal is going to win our whack bracket with... my two special guests, again, from the Damn Fine TV podcast, as I've said, two damn fine podcasters, and a lot of fun to have on the show, Mels and Jasmine. And before I go, I'm going to let you guys pimp out your tweeters and Instagrams and whatever you have. Hopefully not an OnlyFans page, but if you do, that's your business.
Hey, never mind.
You guys go right ahead.
Well, thank you so much for having us. This was a blast. Love your podcast. Love the concept. So totally honored that we got to take part in it. Yeah, I mean, we're just on Instagram, really, at Damn Fine TV. We have fun polls, share celebrities who make us thirsty. And we're on Twitter sometimes, but not as much. But it's also just at Damn Fine TV. And wherever you listen to podcasts, you'll find us every Wednesday.
Yeah. And I have really enjoyed this. This was so much fun to like research and make notes about. It really got me thinking about the quote unquote heavy hitters of the horror shows. So this was an amazing time. Thank you so much for having us. We really, really enjoyed ourselves.
Well, I am happy to hear that because it was a great time having you guys on as well. As I mentioned to people, as long as you lean into it, we'll have a good time. Yeah, so almost right. Every guest I've had on here has, so I've not been disappointed. And with that said, I'm going to tell people how to get in contact with me. I am at Whack Brackets on all the social media platforms, even Facebook. So if Grandpa Joe wakes up in the middle of the night and needs to hammer out some political diatribe on his private group to the Flat Earthers, he can also check out Whack Brackets on there, but I will not respond to him, at least for a long time. But usually... my platforms of choice are the tweeters and the Instagrams. Again, nobody else has my terrible at Whack Brackets name, so I was able to get all the at Whack Brackets. I cornered the markets on bad Instagram names, so I won the battle. So I won that bracket. As well as I have the domain name, whackbrackets.com. That doesn't mean anything because right now it just goes to my Instagram page, but if you want to send me an email, you can. You can send it to grainfedjasmine@whackbrackets.com. I will get that. You can send it to... please don't touch my Achilles heel, Mels at whackbrackets.com. I will get that. Anything you want. Let us know about this episode. It. Tell us anything you want. Give us feedback on the Instagrams, tweeters, or email. Tell us that we fucked up. I'm fine with that. My wife tells me that all the time. Doesn't stop me from getting on here and making an ass of myself a couple times a week. So with that said, again, I'm going to let these guys say goodbye on the way out. And this is the end of the show. Hannibal Lecter, congratulations. And we'll see you.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
Bye.
Perfect.